Well, with me in the KETR studio right now is an Abilene, Texas native who pursued his music dreams all the way to Nashville, where he fought hard for several years to kind of stand out amongst the cookie-cutter music formula that we all know is kind of going on in Nashville. And after moving back to Texas and landing in McKinney, he kind of found a much better atmosphere to appreciate his honest take on traditional country music. So with no middlemen in the way, no co-writing deals for other artists, he's been able to connect with music fans who appreciate his brand of old-school country sounds. His latest album is called Bringin' Country Back. It has been several years since we had him at KETR, and it's so cool to welcome back to Notably Texan, Mr. Zane Williams. How are you, Zane?
I'm great, Matt. It's good to be back, brother. Thank you.
Thank you so much for finding some time for us. I know that you are a busy traveling artist, and it is great to see you again. We first met back around, I want to say it was 2009, because this was around the time you had visited the Commerce Songwriters Showcase, and you had just put out your record, The Right Place. So was that the first album that you released after returning to Texas from Nashville?
Yeah, let's see. It was. And that one was produced by Radney Foster.
Yes.
And so that was fun. So it was recorded in Nashville, but I was living here in Texas, and we released it here in Texas.
Awesome.
I did.
Right.
Not we.
Well, that's how you've been doing it, you know, since you got back here, is kind of doing things independently and doing things your way.
Yeah.
And you have found that that's a much better way to do things, and I'm all for that. You know, we play all kinds of indie artists here on the show. Really so glad that you did get back here and that you are doing things the way you want to do them, and I still refer to that record, The Right Place. There's some great tunes on there, a lot of the songs that people kind of got to know you by.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you have gone on to really establish yourself as a name to know about here in Texas. Well, let's back up a little bit, if we can, and talk about how you went from Abilene to Nashville. Did you just kind of go all in and move to Nashville with a dream, or what exactly lured you specifically out of Texas to go up there?
Yeah, basically, you know, I was a math major at Abilene Christian University. I knew that I didn't want to do math.
Yeah. Okay.
But, you know, that was the quickest way to graduate and get out of there, so I stuck with it. But I did not know anything about Texas country or sort of a local country music scene. All of my friends were listening to, you know, Dave Matthews and Pearl Jam. And,
okay.
And, you know, I was the only one of my friend group that listened to country music at all. And what I was listening to was just whatever they played on the radio, which was mainly Alan Jackson and Garth Brooks and Randy Travis and all that good 90s country stuff. And so, you know, all those guys had record deals in Nashville. So I just moved 2 days after I graduated. I moved, packed everything I owned in a little four-door car and drove to Nashville.
Wow, man. Well, that's incredible. You know, this is the kind of, honestly, that's kind of just like right out of a movie in my mind. You know, not most people don't have the guts to do that. So that was a very brave move of you to do that. I mean, just kind of going with nothing but a dream and packing up all your stuff and heading to Nashville and hoping for the best.
Yeah, and looking back, you know, I didn't know nothing about nothing. Well, I tell you, I was as green as the grass. And, you know, you look back at your life and you realize, wow, I could have done things differently. But at the same time, for where I was back then and for what I knew, I did the best I knew how to do.
Honestly, dude, there's no shame in this whatsoever, because I think that it really says a lot about you that you had the guts to do that, you know, to go up there and just, you know, throw something on the wall and see what stuck, you know, just so that people kind of understand what brought you back to Texas. As I understand it, you kind of became disappointed with the way things were going in Music City, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like I just never found a spot that I fit in there. I never found my tribe. That's how some people talk about it there in Nashville, is finding your tribe. Part of the reason I didn't co-write much, and the few times I did, you know, it didn't really work out, so I didn't do that. And then I was on the road a lot doing solo coffee house shows. And so the times that I had where I spoke with major labels, I got the impression that I really wasn't slick or mainstream enough for them. And then I tried sort of the folk scene and the Americana scene, but I always felt more mainstream than them. So I was kind of stuck in the middle, you know, between those two.
I see.
I didn't have a place. So then I tried just being a songwriter for a couple years. I took a publishing deal and just focused on writing songs. But I wasn't happy not performing and not making my own records. And
right.
So, yeah, after all that, after about 9 years, I just decided, you know, let's move back to Texas. My wife's from here. I'm from here. All of our families are here. So we wanted to start a family, and I just thought, you know, I was turning 30, and it just kind of felt like maybe it was time to grow up and get a real job and start a family, you know?
Yeah.
And when I got back here to Texas, I found out that there was this scene for country music, and I'd heard about it a little bit, but I didn't realize what all it entailed, and I realized there's a lot of fans around here that like my kind of music. And
sure.
So I kind of completely restarted my career at that point,
That's great.
Racking away at it ever since.
No, I'm so glad that you did, because you know, you could have, and I've actually read that you said in an interview with someone or another that you were kind of on the verge of just kind of giving up on music at one point, right?
Yeah, I had given up, and I was looking into a sort of a real estate project that a bunch of people were working on that I thought might be something I could, you know, work on and feel good about working on. It was kind of a neighborhood revitalization concept. And I was at this conference center with these people where we were all talking about this. And I offered to sing a song on the final day at the little whatever meeting we were having, because I had a song that tied into some of the stuff we've been talking about.
I see.
And so I sing the song, and after I'm done, everybody's just staring at me, and they're all just like, "You're stupid, dude. Why are you here?"
Okay.
They were like, "Leave. Get out of here. If any of us could do what you just did, we would all be doing that. So get out of here."
Wow.
So I was just like, "Oh, well, shoot." So that's when I decided, okay, well, maybe I won't give up totally. Maybe I'll just move back to Texas and start over.
On the day that I left Nashville in the dust, I thought I'd laid my final dream to rest. I picked up a trail that I can trust. Turns out Willie really does know best. Now I'm rolling down the road that Willie paved, living for the music in those moments.
Zane, you love to post pictures and videos of yourself. You often love to feature your adorable kiddos, and one of my favorite recent posts was your son's reaction to seeing the Alamo.
Oh, yeah.
Just describe to people what had happened in that, for people that haven't seen the video.
Well, needless to say, I mean, I think we talked it up a little too much.
Yeah, he built thought it up.
I had a gig in San Antonio, and we decided to take the family. I think he thought it was going to be like, I don't know, Six Flags or some sort of interactive, cool, right, fun thing. I mean, we watched the movie first, and that he liked that and everything. But when we went to the actual Alamo, he was so excited. And I think that day they might have been kind of renovating or cleaning, but they didn't really, there wasn't really anything in there.
Okay.
Like it was pretty much empty. And so we just walked around and saw this empty stone building where he wasn't allowed to touch anything.
Oh, yeah. Kids and love that.
So afterwards, he was like, "This is the worst day of my life. That was the most boring thing ever." And of course, he's like bawling, like tears. So, I did what any good dad would do, and I pulled out my camera and started to film him.
Yes.
Because I thought it was so funny.
Oh, yeah. I know, and your reaction was priceless, and I could tell that he was mad about being on camera over it and stuff, and he's really going to love you for this stuff later, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, it's really kind of neat to be able to, you know, for fans to feel like they know you on a personal level when you post stuff like that, you know?
Sure.
Social networking has really kind of enabled artists like yourself to get so much more in touch with their fans directly.
And, you know, it fits well with with my personality. You know, I'm just a regular guy, and I feel like my fans are more like my friends than they are my fans. And so, you know, I enjoy keeping in touch with my fans on social media and having that back and forth, being able to talk to them and reach them. So that's always fun.
Well, that's great. And folks can reach out to you. Where can they find you on social networking?
Well, if you go to facebook.com/Zane Williams, that's me. And then I'm on Twitter, @ZaneTheSinger is my handle.
Okay.
And Instagram, I think I'm just Zane Williams on Instagram.
All right, there you go. I mean, if you find one of them, usually they're going to link to the other.
Yeah,
so
if you go to my website, ZaneWilliamsMusic.com, yeah, there's links to all of the different ones.
Very good. And I know that you do a lot of other fun stuff, like you know, posting some new songs that you haven't even recorded yet, and you've been doing this other kind of fun thing here recently. And I might be getting the title of what you've been doing wrong, but is it a song with 10 words, something like that?
Yeah, 10-word songs. I used to call it Music Monday, but Turns out Monday's a pretty busy day for me, just trying to get caught up with everything from the weekend. So then it was Tuesday tunes, and
okay.
Now it's just 10 weird songs whenever the heck I get around to it. But I asked people for 10 for random words, and then each person responds with one random word, and then I take the first 10 responses that I get and use all 10 of those words in a song.
That's pretty fun. Yeah. So do people throw you some real curveballs with that?
Oh, yeah. I've gotten, let's see, discombobulated, colostomy.
Oh, well, sure. Everything rhymes with that.
Anti-disestablishmentarianism. I've
wow.
had that one.
Okay.
That was like the whole chorus just by itself.
Yeah, I guess so. That is a lot of fun. So these are some reasons that people should follow Zane Williams on social networking, on Facebook or wherever you like to, because this is the kind of stuff you're missing out on if you're not following him.
I like hunting ducks down by the shore. I like shooting for my supper instead of buying it at the store and knowing that it lived its life.
This new album, which again is called Bringing Country Back, this was the first time that you produced your own record, right? It's kind of one of the advantages of being an independent artist.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the first time I did it all by myself. So I've co-produced a few of the other ones. But this time I just decided to take the plunge, be a man.
Yeah.
Make it, just do it myself, and it was good. I'm glad I did it. I learned a lot. You know, I was nervous about it because obviously I didn't want there to be a noticeable step down in quality.
Well, right.
It's like, oh, Zane's producing his own stuff now. You can really tell. and, you know, I do think in a way, it's not as polished as my last couple of records. The guy that produced my last couple, Tom Faulkner, he's really a genius, I think, and he brought a lot of cool ideas to the table that kind of gave it a little bit more of a I don't know how to call it, but kind of a polished sound.
Okay.
My approach was a little bit more basic, just kind of used the guys that are in my band, and we just kind of worked up the arrangements together, and I just basically I added a couple of studio players so that I basically had the band that I wish I had every night.
Oh,
you know
I
what
see.
I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
My band plus steel guitar and some great harmony singers, and then we just kind of went in and played the songs with the arrangements that we'd worked out, and so it's a little rootsier, it's a little bit more homegrown than my last couple, but that's kind of what I was going for. You know, I was wanting to make a country record, and I was just wanting to let everybody know that I whatever pop country and bro country is, a lot of people like that, and that's great. I like some of it, but I'm not that. So anybody that wants an alternative to that, I was wanting to plant my flag there and let people know that I'm trying to bring keep the traditional country sound alive.
Yeah, exactly, and hence the name, Bringing Country Back, kind of doing this this old school way of recording stuff and more of the traditional sounds, and you've definitely accomplished that on the new record. Zane, tell me a little bit about your songwriting process, because I understand that sometimes you maybe get song ideas at inopportune times, and your wife is having to catch you, or you maybe are in the middle of doing something else, and she knows when you're coming up with a tune in your head.
Yeah, she can tell when I'm writing a song, because my lips will be moving silently, and my toe will be tapping.
Yeah.
And I can't hear a thing she says.
Okay.
Because I'm just in my own little world,
Yeah.
Literally hearing the music in my head, and working on it. My process generally is that I'll have a stroke of inspiration where, I get an idea that I think, oh man, that's a cool song idea. And usually a good bit of the chorus or at least sort of the overall, storyline of the song or whatever will come pretty quickly there with that initial idea. But I don't usually get it all the way out, It's usually like halfway finished or whatever. And
sure.
So then after that, it's kind of for the next few days, if it's a really good idea, it just gets stuck in my head and I can't get it out. And I just walk around as I'm doing the dishes or mowing the yard or driving down the road or taking a shower or whatever. I have this song playing in my head, and I'm just always kind of polishing it, working on it.
Yeah.
Trying to come up with that line that I can't think of yet, or trying to come up with a better line that beats one of the ones that I think is weak. And then, you know, I just keep polishing on them until I'm happy, and that's how most of my songs get written.
You ever have these just moments where the muse hits you and you've got some lyrics or a melody in your head that you've got to just record on your phone or something like that so you don't lose it?
Yeah, I do use my phone as a safety net. I record whatever if I come up with like a new idea on a song, I'll record it on my phone just so that I make sure I don't forget.
Yeah.
But usually I don't, and usually I have the whole thing pretty much done in my head before I ever actually write it down.
I see.
And sometimes before I even pull out the guitar these days, because, you know, I can kind of hear what chords I want it to be in my head. And sometimes that's not the case, but sometimes there's, for a certain melody, there could be different chords and I have to get out my guitar and decide what to do. But sometimes it's, you know, I can just hear it in my head, and so I just get out my guitar and polish it up and lay it down.
That's cool. No, I'm always fascinated by this process, you know, as an outsider. I mean, again, an outsider from writing and creating songs. I just play the songs here, but I can't imagine what goes into to creating them, and so I'm always fascinated to hear how different artists do it, so thanks for opening up on that.
It's a tattered old flag that says, come. In the still of the evening, I slip off my hat. And I pray that there will always be a Texas like that.
The new record, Bringing Country Back, correct?
Yep.
Awesome. That's available now. Where can people find this new record?
Well, anywhere that you get music online, iTunes, Spotify, Pandora, Amazon, and then...
probably get it at the show,
Google,
right?
Google Plus or whatever that is.
Yeah,
Google Play.
I think that's right.
I don't know. Yeah, you can get a physical CD at the show and get a slap a signature on there for you.
Oh,
if you
yeah.
come out tonight. Always do that for anybody that wants.
So let's not make it another however many years it was.
Yeah.
Come back. You're just right up the road in McKinney, so it's really not that far. I'd love to have you in anytime you want to come by, even if you're just bored and want to come play a song, man. I will.
That'd be great.
The door's always open to you here at Notably Texans, Zane.
Well, thank you, Matt.